It's locally owned.
It's Copper Road.
Organically grown.
It's Copper Road.
Your heart will warm.
It's Copper Road.
Got that hometown charm.
It's Copper Road.
For it is time for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, 4 promises, and 1 purpose for a greater Chapel Hill Carborough. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Joined on the air today, as always on Friday afternoon, by the Mayor of Carborough, Lydia Lavelle. How are you?
Good.
Happy
good afternoon.
Friday.
Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I have a really important question to ask you first.
This is
I
not
just
good.
Heard, no, I just heard you talking about the sticker
yes.
and the biscuit. All right.
Yes.
Is there anything on that biscuit? Or is it just a biscuit?
I think it's... Oh, that's a really good question.
Yeah,
it's a free biscuit. I think it's a chicken biscuit. I think it's
Well,
no, there's a... Oh, hang on a second.
So sorry.
No.
Made me hungry. I was like, what is on the biscuit?
I think you can get a I think it's like a chicken biscuit or a ham biscuit or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Good to know. I mean, that's important when you consider getting a sticker and putting it on your car.
That is true.
Yeah.
Like you're hitting me with a question I probably should have asked earlier in the week. Yeah.
No, and I know just to put it out there on the air too, I know there's been a request from Carborough folks to have stickers that we can put on bikes in Carborough.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool too.
Yeah, that would be cool. We need to give away more of the Carborough stickers, because we've been giving away a lot of the Chapel Hill stickers, but not as many Carborough stickers. So
folks come by
and pick those up.
Okay.
So yeah, that's from 4 to 6. We mentioned the roundabout that's going in at Estes and Greensboro. What's the status of that right now, and what should people know about?
Well, here's an interesting update, Aaron. As I drove around Carborough yesterday and today, I saw no activity.
Right.
So. Anyway, I was talking to our town manager about it, and we touched base with planning and so forth. And, you know, it's obviously going to vary throughout the 2 years in terms of what's happening out there. Apparently, they were out there making measurements, dealing with lines, doing other things that didn't interfere with the intersection. So, you know, one thing that we discussed with our planning department was, is there any way to either, you know, at the end of the week, kind of say what was accomplished so that people, you know, can realize what's going on while they're trying to avoid the intersection, or if we know of a week coming up where there'll be intensive work, so stay away, or, hey, they won't be out there that much, and so it might not be as bad to go in that direction.
Right.
You know, I don't know if we can get that level of detail from the folks out there, but just as someone who drives in there, you know, sometimes a couple of times a day, it might be nice to know that, you know, if you went all the way around, you could have gone through there.
Yeah, that is kind of a frustrating thing, because I think this is the case with pretty much every, like, major project, is the work is underway, but you don't necessarily see it. It's not, you know, the work begins and we immediately tear up the entire intersection. It's things like that.
Right. And so, yeah, we're no different than what other towns have gone through.
Right.
But yet we're so tight and close and little, and it almost seems like you could just yell it and everyone would hear, you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we're trying to work on that, because we know it's going to have a huge impact on the town. And, you know, one of the questions we've been getting is, you know, why is it taking so long? And, you know, their expected time frame of 2 years. And some of this is detailed on our town webpage, but I just wanted to recap for the listeners. One reason is because it will be open the whole time, right? Because we said, well, can't you just go ahead and close it? Will that speed up the time frame? And no, they can't, because of the way that this project is situated. We don't have the adequate proper side roads to take all of the traffic that we have to, like, go through.
Because that's a big old detour to get around that intersection.
Totally. Well, it's a
right?
big detour, but also, you know, you don't want to, the DOT doesn't want to utilize local streets for detouring traffic, and so that really, you know, you don't want to all of a sudden dump a bunch of traffic. You know, it's already going to have enough, probably, from people that just, you know, kind of avoid the area.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason, and I didn't realize this extent of the improvement that was happening. Another reason it's going to take a little longer, you know, in addition to, you know, all the underground utilities and this new stormwater culvert that they're going to be putting under the intersection, there's going to be some new pedestrian-activated crosswalks at William Street. That's kind of the one that leads up to Wilson Park.
Right.
And then at Oak Avenue, which is just south of there. So adding both of those in, you know, will take a little bit of time as well.
Mm-hmm. So to kind of recap that for for people who are planning on kind of driving around Carrboro in the next 2 years, which I think is everyone listening, they will always be able to get through that intersection in some capacity, right?
That's what we hear. They will always be able to get through in some capacity. Of course, it backs up now at certain times,
right.
So can we imagine how horrible that would be? But, you know, you think about all the school buses, all the transit buses. I'm sure there's going to be some rerouting where it's, you know, where it's able to happen, but it's not going to be shut down entirely. So, again, those work hours, and especially when they really do close down the intersection, but 9 a.m. to sunset. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does allow you to kind of get to work or get to school, you know, beforehand, and then perhaps some occasional, Saturday work. And hopefully we'll know about those when those happen.
Yep. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, talking about the roundabout that is in the process of going in, although you're not seeing it just yet at Estes and Greensboro. We'll keep you updated on developments there as the project goes on. So the other big thing that has really developed in the news in the last week, but certainly has been an issue for much, much longer than this, is the issue of gun violence, which again reared its head with the shootings last weekend in El Paso and Dayton. And you and Mayor Heminger in Chapel Hill just signed on to a national letter with, I think, what's the number, 214 mayors, I think it is, calling on specifically the U.S. Senate to come back and deal with these couple of gun control bills or background check bills specifically that have passed the House but are just kind of stuck in the Senate.
Yeah, and that number's growing too. You know, you can tell a lot of, you know, it came about very quickly, and I've noticed online that more and more mayors are signing on. You know, maybe they were on vacation or missed it or whatever, but certainly the support for this is widespread among mayors across the nation. And, you know, I mean, I belong to a couple of different groups of, you know, kind of like listservs and organizations of mayors, you know, in it from every state. And you do really feel an affinity for other mayors when something like this happens. I remember last year, even with the flooding down east, when I'd see the mayors that I actually knew real well dealing with tragedy and you know, kind of horrible circumstances in their communities. So, you know, my heart went out really to the mayors of the most recent cities that have had to deal with this. And in fact, when I was actually interviewed yesterday by a television station about the letter. And, you know, I told the reporter about, you know, last year on Tuesday, November 20th, when, you know, I was over in Durham and I got a text, hey, there's a shooter at Carrboro Elementary. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone, you know, just, I know, I'm sure everyone had the same reaction I did. My heart, you know, just stopped and I got really scared. And fortunately, it turned out to not be true. But you can imagine in these communities where it actually happens, you know. And then even just afterward, I remember, you know, lots of our parents that were upset. They all gathered over at Carrboro Town Commons waiting for the kids to get out. And the kids that were in the school building going through the lockdown, and our police were fabulous. They were over there within a minute and a half. But, you know, gosh, then that was just a fake phone call. I can't even imagine what you go through in a community where then you deal with it. And so every time this happens, you know, it's another opportunity for us to all, you know, try to bond together and try to explain to the legislators at the national level and the state level, from us at the local level, this is not bipartisan. You know, this is all of our residents, and these are lots and lots of mayors of every political, you know, both political parties and independents also that really think this just makes common sense.
Mm. We're talking in the letter about these two specific bills, both of which kind of expand background checks in various capacities. Generally speaking, everyone wants to see something done about this issue because it seems to be getting nothing but worse and worse and worse as days and weeks and months and years go on. And as you mentioned, every single time you even get a report of something like that, it really galvanizes individuals' attention and public attention generally. At the same time, when we take action, we want to take the right action, right? We want to do things that are actually going to make a difference and move the dial. So in addition to this, if anything, what else would you like to see done on the national level, state level, local level?
Yeah, so, you know, the particular House bills that were passed, you know, by our United States House of Representatives this February, those had to do, you know, with a lot of background checks, right? Which seems to make sense, right? But here in North Carolina, of course, we've had a few bills introduced over the course of the last couple of years, and again this year, which, you know, they include background checks, but they go even beyond that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and one in particular, which almost seems to be low hanging fruit because it seems like most even Republicans, even President Trump has suggested perhaps some support for this, and this is what they call those red flag bills. Mm-hmm. In North Carolina, one of the primary sponsors was, you know, Marsha Morey. But it's, you know, it's entitled North Carolina, the Extreme Risk Protection Orders. But that's this idea that, you know, judges, you know, at the local level, you know, could be the ones to see and issue orders to basically say, you know, take away a gun from a person. And there still is, when reading over the proposed bill, and there still are a lot of safeguards put in place to make certain that if a person who someone thinks is at extreme risk, you know, if a person feels like their rights are being violated, I mean, there's, you know, due process, you go before the court, you present evidence, the sheriff investigates, ultimately there's an order not to take away weapons. But, you know, it just kind of makes sense, especially in instances where you have a person who family members might see behavior or see them acting strange or seeing them unreasonably upset or have heard them say things in the past. I mean, that seems to be a very, you know, kind of, a very, I don't want to say simple, but a very, you know, kind concrete example of one way that mm-hmm. we could pass something that I think a lot of people could get around. And that's in addition to all these other things, you know, like regulating the size of magazines and having the waiting periods and not having, you know, bump stocks and things mm-hmm. like that.
And I think in the case of like a family member calling the local law enforcement and saying, I'm concerned about my son, my daughter, my nephew, because they've said these things, that's a huge step for a family member to take. Like I think about whether I would, like, what would get me to actually pick up the phone and call the police because I hear a family member saying things. Like, that's a huge threshold for people to reach. And when they do that, there should be some response because that's a really serious concern.
No, it absolutely is. And in fact, in 2017, and I can't remember what was, I mean, there are horrible shootings every year, mm-hmm. but whatever the one was, one of the ones that happened in 2017 was, at that time, I think 5 states had this kind of a red flag law. And since that time, now 17 states mm-hmm. have that law.
And Ohio's considering it now,
yeah,
too,
so many,
right?
Yeah, so many states have seen this as one. And the other, I guess the other area when you asked about, you know, what else, you know, most suicides are committed, 80%, I think I read, of suicides are committed by folks who find access to guns in a house, mm-hmm. right? And I've actually had 2 family members who have committed suicide using guns. And, you know, it seems, you know, that kind of gets to a whole nother level too of you know, mental illness or dealing with, you know, different kind of issues and problems. But it seems to make access less available for folks that are find themselves on the edge would be a good thing. You know, I mean, studies have shown that clearly those numbers would go down as well with mm-hmm. without such easy access to firearms.
Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org, the town's website for more information on town government. Other things that people ought to know about going on in town?
Let's see, a couple of things I'll mention. We were originally going to start back on Tuesday, September 3rd, and we will not have a meeting that night. Instead, our first meeting back will be Tuesday, September 10th.
Okay.
We still will have our advisory boards kind of cranking up, and I think many of them will have joint review the week before, and we're still have a lot of work going on. But just wanted to let folks know that instead of the day after Labor Day, it'll be the next week. And I guess the other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, where the IFC is, we received notice today that on Monday is when that building is going to come down. So they've been, I think, you know, removing the inside. It's mm-hmm. all barricaded all the way around and everything. But I guess Monday is the day that, you know, boom, it all comes down. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, well, I don't want to say it's an ugly building, but it is, you know, it's going to rise up nicely.
Yeah,
you know?
It's going to look better when it's done.
It will
yeah.
look better. And so anyway, that's going to happen on Monday. So if you hear a loud noise in town or if you hear a lot of banging around or whatever, that's what's happening. It's moving right along. So.
Sounds good. Again, townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.